You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, I want to talk about and start a series today, this Sunday, and hopefully the rest of the Sundays until we celebrate Christmas, the day of Christmas, on just who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus that we celebrate? Who is this Jesus that we're the whole world at this point, whether they like it or not, or whether they acknowledge it or not, they're seeing it. They're seeing signs all over the place about Christmas, and they're seeing nativities all over the world, and churches all over the world are talking about him, which is, boy, I tell you, you can't go wrong talking about Jesus. Amen? And we're enjoying ourselves and giving gifts to one another, and there's joy, and there's peace, and those are just mantras at this time of year, peace, joy to the world, all those things. What's this all about? You know, who is this Jesus? What makes him so different? Why is he so unique? And he is unique. He's different than any other religious leader that you have ever heard of or will ever hear of. Christianity is different than any other religion, including Judaism. Christianity actually is the fulfillment of Judaism. We have roots in Judaism, but those roots have been fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. And now we're under a new covenant, and we got a new Lord. Hallelujah. And we're new creatures. Praise God. And we're no longer servants, but we're sons. Woo! Hallelujah. All because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And we're celebrating the fact that he came, that Jesus did come, just like God said he would, just like God promised he would. And that really starts out, when you think about it, one of the main points about Jesus that is so unique amongst all religious leaders. And you can't put Moses in the category of Jesus. You can't put Abraham in there. You can't put Buddha in there. You cannot put Muhammad in there. They will not fit. In other words, no religious leader would fit the mold that Jesus fits or fulfill the bill that he filled, as it were. You know, if God were to send someone from heaven to us, then you would think there'd be some kind of pre-announcement, some kind of credential, something that we could all look at and say, hey, this guy really is from God. Or anybody could show up and say, I am from God, and you'd say, okay, you just take their word for it. But when a man shows up and says, I am from God because he said this about me, are you with me? It has been written for centuries, for thousands of years, things like where I'm going to be born, things like how I'm going to die, are you with me? Things like what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do, which nobody else can do, and so on and so forth. Then all of a sudden now you've got a credentials. You have a letter of recommendation, as it were. Just like someone sent to you from another country, an ambassador with papers. Someone that has been pre-announced, as it were. Someone with credentials. Now, Moses was not pre-announced. Buddha was not pre-announced. Muhammad was not pre-announced. They just showed up. Are you with me? Now, obviously, God used Moses, and I'm not degrading that, and I kind of hesitate to put him in the category of those other religious leaders, but what I'm saying is this, that even all the prophets of the Old Testament, when it comes down to Jesus, nobody was talked about like Jesus was talked about before he came. Nobody showed up with credentials in hand saying, I am the one. And you say, well, he just, you know, like any other man, he could have known those scriptures and fulfilled them. Well, okay, he's born in Bethlehem. Try to do that. You want to fulfill where you're going to be born? You really can't do that. That's beyond your control. You're just born somewhere. And maybe after you got a little older, you might pick out a few things. But then you get a supernatural element where it talks about miracles. Well, you got to perform. You're going to do a miracle? Well, he did. Are you with me? And then there's things like, you know, how he was going to die. Well, you know, people weren't even crucified and killed in the days that was prophesied. When the Psalms talked about how Jesus was going to die, hanging on a tree and so on and so forth. People didn't die that way. But in Jesus' day, it's exactly how they killed in Roman times. They put people on a cross. They killed them exactly like it said would happen to Jesus. So you got all this uniqueness about Jesus that makes him stand alone and not even in the same category. You have a right to rejoice. You have a right to have confidence, courage, and faith for the future. Christianity is not just another religion amongst other religions. It's not that. It's the truth. It's the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And it's true because of Jesus Christ, amen. This Jesus that we celebrate. He was the one that God claimed would come, And he met all the criteria and the credentials, and there was scripture after scripture concerning him. If you have your Bibles, turn to Micah 5, verse 2, just to give you one scripture in particular. All the prophecies. See, there were no prophecies concerning any of these other religious leaders. Now, that's just one unique aspect. I haven't even covered any of the others, but just that alone. I mean, when you think about the type of life he lived, the place he was going to be born into, the way he was going to die, and so on and so forth, and the fact that it was prophesied he was going to rise from the dead even, when you think about that, the lineage he was going to come through, all that was recorded over and over and over. We celebrate Christmas, and we think things, we use terms like slow as Christmas, you know, when something takes a long time. We have to wait 1 year. The prophets waited about 4,000 years for the first Christmas, the real Christmas. But it was prophesied to come, and it came to pass just like God said it would. In Micah 5, 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Bethlehem of Judah, thou art not least among the thousands of Judah." In other words, a small community, a small city. And Bethlehem was a small little village just south of Jerusalem, about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It's not even big now, but it was not big then at all. It was a very small village. It says, "Thou art not least among the thousands of Judah," Judah being that area, Judea, you know, and of the tribe of Judah, because that's where they settled in that area. "Although it was a small village, it says, thou art not least among the thousands of Judah. For out of you shall come forth unto me he who is to be ruler in Israel," wow, "whose goings forth shall have been from of old and from everlasting." Man, that's packed. Yes. Are you with me? I mean, you can have a camp meeting on that verse alone. Here we see prophesied where the ruler of all Israel would be born, and also the one who always had been will be born, whose going forth has been from everlasting to everlasting. Now, who in the world could that be but God in the flesh? That's what we have in this Bethlehem birth, house of bread. That's what the word Bethlehem means, the bread that came down from heaven. Not the bread, the manna that fell out of heaven in Moses' day, but the real bread, the true bread that came out of heaven, Jesus, who gave his flesh, his bread, for our life. And by his stripes we're healed. Bethlehem. Wow, house of bread. That's pretty good stuff. Amen. That's where Jesus was born. That's where the bread came. That's when we finally got fed. In Bethlehem. That's where Jesus was born. Now notice this, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 1. Bible drills today. Matthew, the first chapter. And we just read Micah 5, 2. And this is fascinating because remember the wise men came from the east in Matthew, the second chapter? Remember they came from the east and they said, "We've seen his star, king of the Jews. We've seen his star in the east. They've come to look for him. And do you know where he is?" And Herod, who at that time was over, you know, over Jerusalem, he had all of his scribes look into the records. Actually, the records was the Bible. And they look into Micah, and they found this verse. And they said, well, he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so the wise men left, and they went to Bethlehem, and they found Jesus. He was in a house at this time. This was after he was born, actually. This is not the manger scene. This was the house. Now, I know you get the Christmas cards. It's got the shepherds and the magi, the wise men, all together in one spot, but actually those were two separate events. The shepherds were there when he was at the manger scene. The wise men came later. By that time, they had a house, and they were in Bethlehem at that time. But it says here, you know, in Matthew 1, I think it's interesting. Matthew 1, I'm going to go through several verses. Matthew 1, 22 and 23 says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled." Everybody say fulfilled. Okay, which spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So Jesus was called Emmanuel, according to Scripture, to fulfill Scripture. Matthew 2:15, you're still in Matthew. And it says, And there was until the death of Herod, in other words, Joseph and Mary went to Egypt, and fled because Herod went and killed all the babies in, remember that, in 2 years old and under in Bethlehem? It probably wasn't a whole lot of babies, but maybe as many as 20 or so. It's a small village, so 2 years old and under, but still, that's a terrible thing. It said Rachel weeping for her children, Rachel being the mother of Judah and Benjamin, and that's where they all settled in that area. It says, and there was until the death of Herod, they were there in Egypt, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Everybody say fulfilled. Matthew 2:17. Then was fulfilled, that was what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. See, I mean, over and over, Matthew is saying, this was done according to what was said about him. This was fulfilling what he said. Micah 5:2, which I read, tells us that he was born in Bethlehem to fulfill that scripture in Micah 5:2. He was born of a virgin to fulfill Isaiah 7:14, to fulfill that scripture. See, Jesus, for whatever anybody wants to say about Jesus, they want to humanize him to the point that he's not God. Well, they can do that if they want to, and that's fine. It just won't hold water, and it won't hold the facts if you look at the facts. Whatever anybody says about your Jesus and my Jesus, this Lord, this Savior, this love of our soul, the one who saved us from our sins, God Almighty in the flesh, whatever they want to say, they cannot deny that over and over and over, he was pre-announced, he was foretold when he was going to be born. Are you with me? What was going to happen at his birth and the slaying of those children, him going to leave that place into Egypt just like he did according to the scripture. All that was in the Bible, all those credentials were pre-announced, and they were all there. You have nothing like that, not even one scripture, not even one prophecy concerning any other religious leader. Literally hundreds concerning Jesus. Now, how can you just fluff that off and say, well, you believe this and I believe that. Well, you're a Muslim and I'm a Christian and you're a Jew and you're... Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, we're not even... No. No, we can't go there. Are you with me? That won't fly. Or as we say in East Texas, that dog won't hunt. Are you out there? Man, what we're talking about has been recorded and validated for thousands of years. Before Jesus even. He came in direct fulfillment of Scripture. In fact, John tells us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The Word that was prophesied was embodied in Christ. Jesus was not just any man. He was not another Moses, not another Buddha, not a Muhammad. He was the fulfillment of God's Word and His promises. Down to the letter, I mean to the place He was going to be born, and the things that took place around His birth, to the things he did during his life up to the time he even died, and how he died and how he rose from the dead, it was all prophesied. There was a manual written before the product came out. Amen. So unique? Oh yeah, I'd say he's very unique. He's so unique, he's not even in the same class of any other religious leader. You can't even call him a religious leader, because he wasn't just someone preaching a gospel or preaching a good news. He himself is the message. Jesus didn't bring us a message. Jesus is the message. Muhammad is not the message of the Islamic faith. Buddha is not the message of Buddhism. Moses is not the message of Judaism. But Christianity, Jesus is the message of Christianity. He's not a carrier of it. He's not a preacher of it. He's not a prophet of it. He is it. In fact, the bottom line is salvation comes down to this. Not if you just believe what he said. The bottom line comes down to this. Do you have him? Period. If you don't have Jesus, you are not a Christian. Not just believe him. Not just believe what he said. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. He didn't bring us a message. He is the message. Woo, I think he's a good man. No, you got to get past that. Well, I believe the things he said. Well, you're going to have to get past just believing the things he said. You have to believe in him, on him. And he that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. That's different. The Bible, you know, Quran doesn't say he that hath Muhammad has life, or he that hath Buddha hath life, or he that hath Moses hath life. No. It says he hath the Son has life. And he has not the Son has not life. So this is not about a doctrine, believing on a doctrine. This is actually receiving a person. This is actually having him come into our heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up, I will come in. Woo! Are you out there? Totally different. Totally different than, it's not another religion. You can't put it in that, it's an insult to God, it's an insult to the Bible, it's an insult to Jesus to even say that. It's just not another religion. it doesn't even meet that criteria. The criteria that Jesus meets, nobody else meets. Amen. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Amen. And think about this. Second unique thing about Jesus, not necessarily just a scripture, but think about this. What year are we living in? Right now it's 2013. You know, December 2013. 2013 A.D. Is that right? Anno Dominion, the year of the Lord. You know, the year of our Lord. What about time before that? For the most part, time before that was B.C. Is that right? Okay. That would be before the year of our Lord and before his death. Actually, people get confused. You know, they think B.C. before Christ. But actually, Christ is probably born before he is born. Because the calendars got a little mixed up. Jesus is probably born around 6 B.C., you know, somewhere in that area. Because Herod died in 4 B.C. We know that's a validated fact. We know that as a matter of history. And so Jesus was born before Herod died. He was probably a couple years old when Herod died. He died in 4 B.C., so Jesus was probably born about 6 B.C., about 2 years before that. And probably died about 27, 28. A.D. Is that right? Yeah, something like that. A.D. So he actually died 6 years before he died. But he was born 6 years before he was born. You know. Does that make sense?
Okay. No.
It's a mess up on the calendar is what it is. We're living in A.D., which really dates back to it's actually when Jesus died. That started the year of our Lord. Now, did we live in the year of Muhammad? How about the year of Buddha? There's no such thing, is it? Anybody ever split time right in half like that? You know any character that just split time in half? And before they died, that's all with his name on the end of it. You know, and after he died, it's his name on the other end of it. Think about it. Has anybody even come close to doing something like that? There's a great man passed away. We talked about Nelson Mandela. But we're not going to start a new calendar. Thank God for Nelson Mandela and all he did and all he meant to our the country, obviously, of South Africa, and to our country and to the world. I mean, he's an icon in that area, and humanitarian area. But, you know, we're not going to change the calendar. But Jesus, we changed the calendar, man. He split time right in half. Hallelujah. Woo! Nobody ever did that. So he's unique in that respect. Another respect he's unique in is that Jesus came for an intent and a purpose. And that purpose was not to just preach. It was not to give us good news. He came to die. That's why he came. Are you out there? Amen. Moses didn't come to die. Muhammad didn't come to die. Buddha didn't come to die. In fact, they all preached a message for you to follow and pointed to something. But Jesus comes along, and his whole purpose is to give his life. In fact, if he didn't give his life, his message wouldn't be much different than anybody else. He didn't say, you know, a lot of things Jesus said, Plato said. A lot of things he said, Buddha said. I mean, when he said, do unto others as you'd have others do unto you, Buddha said the same thing, so did Plato. That wasn't anything new. I wouldn't expect Jesus to teach a whole lot of new stuff. Jesus was the truth, and so the truth had always been around. He just embodied it, and he repeated it. But what he came to do that nobody else did was he came to die for your sins. Buddha didn't die for your sins. Muhammad didn't die for your sins. Moses didn't die for your sins. So we can talk about these other religions and other religious leaders, but listen, there is no atonement. There is no redemption. There is no salvation in any other religion. Are you listening to me? There's ways to live. There's moral codes. Okay? There's some goodness in them. There's nothing. See, there's a lot of good in Buddhism. There really is. And there's some good in Mohammedism or the Muslim faith. And Judaism, I mean the Jewish faith. We have our roots in the Jewish faith. There's some good moral teaching in that. But nobody can get saved under Jewish law. You cannot be saved until you come to Jesus. Because he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Are you with me? If you want to be saved, if you want to be redeemed, if you want to live forever, there's only one shot you got, and that's Jesus. No one even offers it. Whew. There is a little bit of difference here. There's some uniqueness to Jesus. into what we call Christianity compared to what we call other religions. So to throw Christianity in the mix and just say, that, see, now this is why there's so much opposition to Christianity. Because Christianity is absolute. People don't like absolutes. They like to be vague. You know, whatever you think's fine, whatever I think's fine, this is my truth, that's your truth. But Christianity doesn't go there. Christianity says, Jesus himself being Christianity, he says, I am the truth. He said, I am the way. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Wow. So that's unique. If you're writing notes, you don't have to turn there. But in Romans, the 5th chapter, 6th verse says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. Moses didn't do that. Muhammad didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. Hare Krishna didn't do that. But God commended, the 8th verse of the 5th chapter says, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What? I thought he just preached the message of love. Well, he did that, but he came to die. Don't forget the purpose of the lamb was to be sacrificed. He came with that intent. Moses didn't come to die. He was going to die, but he didn't come to die. Buddha didn't come to die. I give my life for you. No, Buddha didn't say that. Muhammad didn't say that. But Jesus did over and over. He didn't come just to be an example. See, I think about this. We didn't, and I said this many times before, but, and you've heard me say it. We didn't need a better guide. There's all kinds of guides. There are all kinds of moral codes you can live by that'll help you and help your family. Listen, there's some truth in a lot of different religions. You know, as a Christian, I don't believe all religions are wrong. I just don't believe any of them are totally right except Christianity. I believe there's some truth in all religions. There's some good people in all religions. But if you want to be saved, there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. Are you with me? I mean, to be a Buddhist, you can be a good man or a good woman and be a moral person. You can go right down the list of different religions. There's good in all religions. But see, only Christianity has the whole truth, nothing but the truth. There's little truths in all religions. And so we're not anti, you know, other religions and other people. I understand all that. There's just no salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. And if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to come to Jesus. Hello. I can tolerate you. We can get along and get along just fine. But when you die, if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Are you out there? We're not talking about morality. We're not talking about goodness. We're not talking about, you know, can you get along in society? Listen, you're never going to be good enough to go to heaven. If that were the case, Jesus wouldn't have to come. See, we didn't need a better guide to guide us. We didn't need a better leader to lead us. We didn't need a better teacher to teach us or a better example to follow. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what Jesus did. Amen. And that's what he claimed to do. And that's what his purpose was. And that's what he fulfilled. Hallelujah. And thank God today we're celebrating the fact that God sent us a Savior. Hallelujah. He came to save us from our sins. He didn't send us a Muhammad. He didn't send us a Buddha. He didn't. No. We didn't need all that. We needed someone to save us. And it's Christmas and hallelujah. I got a Savior. Wow. Jesus is different. In fact, if you have your Bibles there in Matthew, look at Matthew 1:21. It says, and she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for, which means Savior, deliver, for he shall save his people from their sins. Woo! For he shall lead them into victory, for he shall teach them good stuff. He shall be an example. No, it says he'll save them from their sins. Now, was he a leader? You bet. Was he a teacher? The best ever was. Was he a guide? There's no better guide that ever lived. That really wasn't what we needed. Are you out there? Oh, I need some guidance. I understand that. I need a role model. I need all that. But none of that's going to get me to heaven. I need somebody to take care of my sins. I need someone to die for me. And that's what Jesus came to do. See, this is where he does not fit. This is where all arguments about him being a good man won't work. Because Jesus, what Jesus preached and what the Bible tells us about him, what was prophesied about him, the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation really, is not about Jesus just being a good man. Oh, he was that. But he's got to be more than that to meet the criteria to fit the bill. For him just to be a good teacher, a good moral leader, you know, it's got to be more than that. See, he's more than that. That's a religious leader. That's what I consider a Muhammad or a Buddha or Moses or Jeremiah or some. They're moral. They're preachers. They bring a message. But that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus was the fulfillment of a message. He was the one they talked about. Are you with me? And he came to fulfill all those scriptures. He came to die. And in that sense, he does not fit. Are you with me? The bill. He says things very strange. He doesn't say, here's the way, walk in it. He doesn't say, here's a truth, believe it. You know, here's a light, walk in it. No, he says, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. I am. Here's life, go after it. No, he said, I'm life. Here's truth. No, he said, I'm truth. Moses always pointed to the truth. Muhammad would have said he pointed to the truth. Buddha would have said he pointed to enlightenment and light. But Jesus just pointed to himself. How arrogant. Stay with me. How filled with yourself would you have to be to say something like that unless you actually were God? And convince the greater part of the world that he was. No, he doesn't fit. He said things people didn't say. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Wow. He said things like he was the Son of God. And you know, in the Islamic faith, one of the mantras is, Allah is God and he has no son. Are you with me? Thus telling us a couple things. Well, you know, actually several things. One, that's a wrong statement. Allah is God and has no son. Secondly, God does have a son. His name is Jesus, so that can't be right. And Allah is not the same God we serve. Are you with me? We often hear people try to merge Christianity and Islamic faith and say, well, their Allah is our God. No, their Allah is not our God. Their Allah is a different God than our God. Their God has no son. Our God has a son. Are you with me? Are you out there? You can't just play around with truth. Truth's truth. You know, I mean, you can be politically correct all you want to and diplomatic all day long, but the truth is still the truth. If Allah has no son, then he can't be my God. Because God sent forth his son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Are you with me? And he that hath the son hath life. You must have the son to even be saved. Therefore, there is no salvation in the Islamic faith. There cannot be, because you cannot get the son, because there is no son to get. Make sense? It'd be impossible to be saved through the Islamic faith, the Muslim faith, because there is no son to be saved through. So Jesus comes along, and he is the son of the highest, Scripture tells us. And he is born of the Holy Ghost, the Scripture tells us. Are you with me? And he gave himself for our sins. Wow. There's just so much about Jesus that just doesn't fit real well with religious leaders. And to throw him into that category. See, he's in his own category. That's what I'm trying to say here. You can't say, well, there's a lot of religions. Well, no. Jesus is totally different. Totally unique. Because he didn't bring us a message. He is the message. He didn't bring us just a good word. He gave his life. He came to die. That's what he came to do. That's not what others did. He called himself God, Emmanuel, Son of God, things like that, that Moses would have never said. Muhammad would never. They would have killed Muhammad. They would have killed Moses for saying something like that. Are you with me? I mean, he said things that other leaders just do not say. So to say he was a good man, but he wasn't the Son of God, would be to say that he was delusional, because you're calling him a liar, because he said he was God, and if he wasn't God, then he was a liar and he couldn't have been a good man. That doesn't even make sense, does it? Well, you know, Jesus is a good man, great teaching. I like his teaching. I think he's a great guy. Well, you're calling him a liar because he said he was God. Are you with me? You can't go that route. You can't say he's a good man. He doesn't leave you that option. Jesus said things that you either have to accept about him as being true, or you have to call him a liar. Are you out there? I heard this, what they call a trilemma about Jesus. Either he was a liar, meaning that he knew he wasn't God and he told us he was. He's lying. He knew he was the Son of God. He wasn't the Son of God and he told us he was the Son of God. He was lying. If he wasn't, that would be lying. And if he knew that there was never salvation in him and no one would really go to heaven through him, yet he told us we could, then he'd be lying. Or, second scenario, he thought he was, but he wasn't. You know, he's delusional. Thought he was God, but he really wasn't God. Thought he was the Son of God, but he really wasn't the Son of God. Thought he was the Savior of the world, but really wasn't the Savior of the world. In that case, he would be a lunatic. He wouldn't be lying. He'd just be delusional. He'd be either a liar or a lunatic. Or the third option would be he really was God. And incidentally, he did prove it in many cases, many times over and over and over. He fulfilled all the scriptures that were written about him. No one else ever come close to that. No one ever popped up and said, I've fulfilled all these scriptures. It never has happened since. There's nobody you can ever point to in all these thousands of years that ever come close to doing what Jesus did in fulfilling all the criteria and all the scriptures. So that third option, he really is who he said he was. So you have three choices. You can call him a liar, you can call him a lunatic, or you can call him Lord. Are you with me? And I believe he's Lord. Lord of lords. King of kings. The great I am. Yeshua HaMashiach. I believe he's Emmanuel, God in the flesh. I believe he's the Savior of my soul. I believe he's the one prophesied to come over and over and over and over and over. And I believe his life fulfilled scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And I believe he died and he rose again and was seen by over 500 people at one time, Paul records. And the disciples recorded it and gave their lives telling that message over and over that they had seen Jesus and talked to him and talked to him after he rose from the dead and gave their lives for it. Think about it. And changed the world as we know it. And I know in my life, he changed my life. And nobody could do that. Nobody, no person in history, nobody could have done what Jesus did for me. There's an old Andre Crouch song that says, can't nobody do me like Jesus. There can't nobody do me like the Lord. I'm testifying, I'm standing up, and any of you could do the same, that he has changed my life completely. I didn't adhere to a doctrine, a teaching. I didn't turn over a new leaf. That leaf was just ugly on the other side as it was on the bottom side. I didn't need to turn over a new leaf. I needed a new leaf. Are you with me? And that's what I got in Jesus. And Muhammad didn't offer me that. And Buddha didn't offer me that. And Moses didn't offer me. Thank God for Moses. I hesitate to put him in that category because he was a prophet of God. But he still wasn't the hope and the future and the life of God. The life of God is in Jesus. Amen. He prophesied of Jesus. He pointed to Jesus. But nobody offered me this except Jesus. Nobody offered me what I have today. Nobody offered the change in my life. No one could do it. Nobody can do me like Jesus did me. Nobody. That's why we celebrate. And we have reason to celebrate. That's why we get excited. That's why we give gifts. That's why we, you know, put up lights and trees and everything, let people know, hey, man, we are excited. It's party time. It's time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have a Savior that's now saved us from our sins. Woo! His name is Jesus. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus. You know, when you throw a birthday, you ought to invite the person you're throwing it for. Amen? And y'all acknowledge whose birthday it is. And just be, come on, be civil, be decent, be right here. There's nobody's ever done you like Jesus. Nobody ever worth any of the time that we put in this. Nobody ever deserves a birthday any better than he does. A time to celebrate, a time to honor, a time to cherish, a time to reflect, a time to thank, time to remember. My goodness, thank God for Christmas. I love this time of year. I really, really do. I mean, everywhere you turn, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. There's lights, there's, you know, and people want to denigrate it and say Happy Holidays. Oh, come on now. Come on. Just be bold. Amen. Just say Merry Christmas.